what happened with our music today? Something wrong? No, I don't think so. But I'm not able to
hear
the music. Yeah, I don't hear. But it's okay. Let's play it again.
Ladies, I'm hearing
okay.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Well, it's not the music that I really, really wanted to play, but immediately that came to my, that got the attention of my eyes, and then I clicked play. But I really, really love that song. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive Through HR, where Lynch conversation happens with the HR industry.
I'm switching from Skype to a phone line.
No problem. We are unmuting you right away. And so I'm your host, Nisha, and my partner in crime, William Tinkup, is traveling today. But hey, it's William Tinkup. Chances are there he might call in any point of time. But we have a wonderful guest host joining with me, Crystal Miller. Hey, Crystal.
Hello, hello. Happy to be back.
Great. So let's get to it and talk to our wonderful, wonderful guest. Personally, I'm so thrilled and excited to talk to him. In fact, this is the first time that I'm talking to him, so that's there, and I'm really, really glad it is live on air at DriveThruHR here. So without further ado, let us welcome Bill Kudyk, the father of HR technology. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa. Can you hear me? I just switched from Skype to landline because I was getting an echo. Which
yeah,
I'm still getting,
computer.
Sorry.
We do have echo. So what I would suggest is, like, I feel like there is a live window opened on your desktop, probably, which is the echo. So if you can close that.
I've just closed everything, and I still hear the echo. Do you hear it?
We can hear, but do you think the other line is still on? So that may be the echo.
Oh, yes. Hold on. You're absolutely right.
How about
okay,
it now?
Okay, how is it now?
Great. We are good to go.
Oh, sorry about that. My fault.
No problem. So, Bill, once again, welcome to Drive Through HR. You have been on the show many times, and so welcome back again to Drive Through HR.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, even though I obviously don't know my ass from my elbow in terms of the telecommunications protocol for the show. So we're all set now. And let me introduce myself to your audience, because some people think everybody knows me, but I'm not so grandiose as to believe that that's true. So the basic facts about me are that I'm an independent industry analyst for HR technology, and I sell that knowledge in a variety of ways. For 16 years, as I guess a lot of people know, I started and grew the HR Technology Conference, which I left last October after running it for 16 years. And now Steve Bose is doing that in about 8 weeks. I also have my own radio show. I call it a radio show. It's a podcast, but that word connotes canned corporate crap to me, so I try to avoid using it, although perhaps other people aren't as critical of it. And that's called the Bill Kudyk Radio Show, which is a biweekly affair. People can listen to it at Bill Kudyk Radio Show, all one word, .com. And I have for 25 years written the HR Technology column for Human Resource Executive Magazine, first in the print edition and now online, which is HREonline.com. Again, one word. And a bunch of other things. I foolishly allowed the word retire to be connected to the HR Technology Conference, and some people think that I'm somehow exited the industry. Far from it. I'm continuing to do all the other things I've always done except not the backbreaking job of putting together the HR Tech Conference, which I much look forward to attending as a regular attendee on October 6th, 7th, and actually getting some benefit out of it instead of running around like a crazy person and never getting to talk to anyone for more than 3 minutes.
It's so interesting that you let in with that, Bill, because that is exactly what I wanted to ask you. Do you think it'll be weird walking through the halls of the HR Tech Conference knowing that you don't have any responsibility for it this year?
Well, you know, that's a sweet way to ask the question, Crystal, because I think most people ask the question, they're thinking, Bill, won't it be weird to be there and not be the most important guy there rather than the more emotional and sensitive question that you asked? And I think it'll be odd, but I also think it'll be wonderful. I mean, I have, as you probably know, a tremendous number of friends and contacts and network in this industry for 25 years. And, you know, I was happy to create, to turn the HR Technology Conference into their annual town meeting, right? So everybody who cares about HR technology wants to be there. They can't all be there for various reasons, but they want to be there. So there are, you know, huge, you know, there's basically, if you include all the sales reps who are on the show floor, there are 7,000 people who care about this subject at the show. And believe me, I don't know all of them, but I know a lot of them. And for years, I've never had a chance to talk to them. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, who knows
that's
how
awesome
I'll feel about all those other things.
Well, that's, I mean, that's pretty fantastic. I would think it would be weird. I mean, it would be weird for me. I'm a little bit of a control
freak.
It's got
to be weird. Of course it's going to be weird. And I just don't know the level of weirdness. If, in fact, you know, everyone shunned me, you know, after 16 years of everybody wanting to talk to me and my not having time to talk to them, if they suddenly shunned me, that would be weird. But I don't expect that will happen, although I'm fully aware that there will be some people who were friendly only because they wanted something from the show, right, and won't be quite so friendly now, and that's just the way life is. But I wanted to emphasize what I'm continuing to do. I just got back from, I believe, my 12th annual Silicon Valley tour, which is a lot of vendors come to my home to brief me. I live in Westport, Connecticut, about an hour out of New York City, so not too hard to get to, 3 hours from Boston. A lot of vendors come here to brief me, but, you know, the big guys want me to come to them. So every year for the past 12, I've spent a week or more in Silicon Valley having all-day briefings with, you know, in the old days, PeopleSoft, Oracle, SAP, Taleo, SuccessFactors, on and on, Workday now. And with acquisitions and consolidations, there are fewer full-day appointments, but they remain full-day briefings, and they trot out between 5 and 12 executives to brief me about what they're doing. And, you know, I'm eternally grateful to them that they do it, while at the same time I also understand that they're getting guaranteed ink, since I write my major feature about the state of HR technology after this visit, which will be appearing in the October 1st edition of Human Resource Executive. It's the only thing I still write for the print edition, because the lead times for technology, so a six-week lead time to write about technology is crazy-making. I mean, I'm
like
a 24-hour lead time. So I tend to write for online, the HRE Online, almost exclusively now. But it will be on HRE Online, and it will be in the print edition. And I just got back from it about a week ago, and I still have, I don't know, 8 to 10 inches of PowerPoint slides and screenshots and demo notes sitting on my desk that I have to go through to discover what I've learned. I mean, who could remember it all, right, while it's all going on, because it's day after day after day. You know, it's about 100 briefings in all. But then when I go through it all, I realize what I've learned. And that is the way, I mean, I come from newspaper reporting, which you may or may not know. I worked for the Boston Globe, the New York Daily News, and the New York Times. This is the way you discover trends in any industry. You go out and talk to just tons of people, And of course, particularly when they're competitors, right? SAP is not telling Oracle what they're doing, and Workday certainly isn't telling either of them either. You discover that some people are working on the exact same thing, right? I mean, 10 miles apart, never talk to each other about it, but they're both working on it. And that's a genuine trend, you know? So it's an exciting time for me. You know, I'd rather spend the entire summer at the beach, frankly. But I do this every summer, and I still love doing it, so I'm really glad about it. I'm just sorry that I can't tell you now what I learned, because I don't know yet, because I haven't gone through the pile completely. But I will be writing a column about it for Monday, and then another column before the October 1st big feature article, so it'll leak out over time.
Great. Well, it's actually glad to hear your experience and then your journey over the past 16 years of time. And then you said you started your career as a student newspaper writer. And then now you are the father of HR technology. So what has changed the most for you when it comes to the world of technology and especially the world of content?
Well, that's a really good question, and let's talk about content first. The thing that's really changed from my days on, you know, old-fashioned print newspapers, when I worked for the New York Daily News and the Times, of course, they had national editions, and they circulated, you know, everywhere in the country, and I would get letters from people all over the place. It felt like working for a TV network. But the reach now that's possible with modern technology has just changed the whole ball game. I mean, the fact is my podcast provider's analytics indicate that, and you know, you have your India Live radio, you know, Skype show, right? Well, I've seen it, and it's nicely done. Do you get any good statistics from it in terms of who's watched or anything like that? Or where they've
watched
it from?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. I mean, yeah, I do have that data. So we
That's
have
great.
People coming up from across the world. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Roll on. Go
I
ahead.
Mean, isn't
go
it
ahead,
staggering?
Go.
I mean, but Nisha, don't you find that amazing? That
it
you can.
Is
you're
amazing.
In Texas, right? You're in Texas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Correct. I'm in Texas. In fact, me as an HR professional, I started my career from India. So this is a way where I can connect with my home country and the people in the home country. And the things that I learned from here in the United States, I can connect with people over here and then across the world. So it's a global platform where I can connect with people from anywhere in the world and share their thoughts and insights to our audience. It is amazing. Thank you for that.
And if everybody's on Skype, it's not costing you a penny. I mean, it's a staggering concept that people, and you know, I feel the same way about my radio show. I mean, my podcast provider, who charges all of $15 a month to make my entire archive of 160 shows, you know, available on demand for free to anyone without registration, that every month people from 70 countries around the world listen to either the current show or an old show or something. And I find that absolutely amazing. And the same thing with my column. I use a Bitly link for my column, and happily Human Resource Executive sends out a 100K email blast about each of my columns. And that, too, I see people from 50, 60, 70 countries reading the column. It's staggering. So I've decided it's not enough, though. Okay? I want more. You know, the thing is that people use terms about those of us who are sort of well-known in the industry too broadly. Naomi Lee Bloom is our top tech guru, without a doubt. You know, Ray Wang is one of our top analysts, and I would put Yvette Cameron and Lisa Rowan and Josh Burson in that category as well. And Jason Averbuch, I think, is one of our very top consultants and absolutely one of the best presenters in our industry. He's just staggering, either as a solo act, on a panel, or, you know, on a webcast or whatever. My niche is I'm sort of the communicator, impresario, and promoter, okay? Those are the things that distinguish me from all those other people who are actually better at what they do than I am. And so I'm reviving an old idea of a video interview show that's not going to be like your Live India show. It's going to be a little different, mostly because I'm an old fart, and I remember when video... Yes, I am an old fart. It's true. And I remember when video had a certain quality level because, you know, the video you saw was all ABC, NBC, CBS Network News, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of attached to that video level. And even though the information can be passed on a Skype level or a Google Plus Hangouts level, and I don't know if you know Michael Kriegsman, who does CXO Talks, he does a terrific job with the Google Hangouts. But, you know, I want the old-time religion, you know? I want a video production house with guys who may have worked for the networks, who are running the cameras and running the soundboard and doing the editing and really have it be totally professional. So
What kind of video are you going to want to do?
Well, the show is called Firing Line with Bill Cudick. And anyone old enough to remember the Bill Buckley show of that name will be staggered to discover he never registered the name as a trademark,
kidding?
Is what you have to do. No, he never did. I had a lawyer search, and there was no registration for it. So I grabbed it. It's going to be called Firing Line with Bill Cudick. And because, frankly, I've discovered that people's attention span is really shrinking to the level of a tsetse fly, as far as I'm concerned. And I know this, and admittedly, these were commercials, but 3 or 4 years ago, we did a 5-minute video for HR Tech, and the average watch time was 3 minutes. So the next year, we did a 3-minute video, and the average watch time was 2 minutes. And the next year, we did a 2-minute video, and the average watch time was 1 minute 45 seconds, whereupon I sort of hit myself upside the head and said, why didn't you just watch the network news and see that all their segments are 1.5 to 2 minutes long? I mean, they know. They've known for years what people's attention spans are. For instance, on this show, do you ever get statistics on drop-offs? Do you have any idea the number of people who dial in and then just say, oh, this is boring, I'm going to leave and disconnect? You probably don't get those numbers, right?
I know. It is really hard, Bill, to get that sort of sophisticated data when it comes to how many people are listening to live right now, and in fact, how many people are dropping off the call right now, unless they call to our Blog Talk Radio site. Or otherwise, if you're talking about Google+, Plus, just the way at India HR Live, it is really hard to see a real-time information where we can
It's a premium service, right? So, I mean, it's a premium service. So it's a way that all of these platforms are able to be able to monetize what mentioned earlier is a very cheap service. So you can get it, but you pay $250 a month for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, my podcast provider used to give, you know, 3 pages of analytics and now has put a paywall after the first page, right, and wants a more expensive subscription to see the analytics. So now I don't know anymore what percentage of the listeners came from iTunes, okay, because I have hundreds of iTunes subscribers to my radio show, and it was always about 20 or 25%, and I assume it's still the same, but, you know, they don't tell me anymore because I haven't given them more money. But, Crystal, in answer to your question, it's going to be expensive to produce. It's going to be a sponsored show, but it's going to be just like the radio show in terms of the content. And the radio show, is not sponsored by the guests. The guests, I just choose who I want to be on there, and they agree or don't agree. In fact, I don't think anyone's ever turned me down. But the content will not be about what they're selling, but about what they're thinking. And that's always, I believe, been the attraction for people to the radio show, and I'm hoping it will be the attraction for them to this new video show. So, you know, even if a vendor is paying to have somebody on there, they're not going to be talking about the vendor's products. They're not going to be talking about, you know, the vendor, how, you know, great the company is or any of that stuff. You know, they're going to be talking about what's inside their head. And that's been interested in. Good. I'm glad
that.
You
that's
do.
Brilliant.
You do. Yeah,
so, Bill,
I think we need more of it.
Yeah, totally. So you have this Bill Kudyk radio show, and then now you are launching Firing Line with Bill Kudyk, which is a video show. So what it is that you are expecting to deliver to the audience when it comes to how do you want to do it differently when you compare Firing Line with Bill Kudyk to the Bill Kudyk radio show?
It basically comes down to format. The Firing Line with Bill Kudyk will have incredibly short segments and be really soundbitey and pithy. But with this added, and I'm glad you asked that question because I had forgotten about this, actually. With this added element, I intend to draw out from my guests their personalities and who they are. Because I think that for HR especially, you know, they want to know whom they're doing business with, right? What are the people like who are in charge of this incredibly expensive investment they're making? And you know, they just don't want to be dealing with a salesperson. You know, they want to know the senior people and what they're like and all the rest. So, the fact is, I do know that because I've had private meals with most of them where we don't talk shop. You know, we talk about their family or where they came from and what they're interested in and what they're doing. So, you know, I know that already, and most people don't.
Bill, I'm going to jump in and play devil's advocate.
It's
been a little while since I ran HR, but when I did, we went through 4 tech implementations in 2 years. Yeah, we did. I don't know that I cared anything about the senior people. I mean, do you really think they care about the people, or they want to know that who they're dealing with is stable?
I think
those are kind of different things.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, you're absolutely right, Crystal. If their product doesn't work, they don't care about anybody but themselves and how they're spending money on something that doesn't work. And it doesn't matter how charming the CEO may be or whatever, you know, we know what they care about. So I think you're absolutely right. But at the same time, you know, do you think anyone wants to listen to tales of bad implementations? I mean, there are so many all over the country all the time. I think that would get a little boring.
But maybe rather than talking about good implementations or bad implementations, one thing that could be interesting to discuss is why bother implementing anything? You know, what are you trying to get to? I honestly think a lot of people buy tech not really knowing what they're trying to achieve.
You're absolutely right. And one of the great things that Jason Averbuch did with Knowledge Infusion was make the point, and he was among the first, I think, to make it, and he made it over and over and over again, and said technology is not the solution. You know, strategy is the solution, and technology is the enablement of the strategy. So you're absolutely right, Crystal. People have to go, and too often people go into this whole technology arena thinking that they're just going to solve a problem with a bright, shiny toy without really understanding what they're trying to achieve, and certainly without having both a strategy for where they want to get to and then a specific technology strategy about how it's going to take them there. So I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, cool. Sorry.
No problem, Crystal. Yeah, both of you are correct. Technology can fix a broken business, right, if the strategy is not in place. So Bill, as you were saying, you know, imagination is important to create new things in HR tech and find out what are the new solutions that are going to be needed, right? So what have you seen are the most disrupt idea in this past 16 years of HR tech experience?
Oh, God, I can't remember. Make sure my experience is 25 years. That's how long I've been doing the call.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, and 16 years is for the show. Well, you know, in recruiting, I would say the most disruptive development is LinkedIn. I had this wonderful encounter in 1992, okay? That's 22 years ago. Before I knew there was an internet, I'm sure I didn't know there was an internet. And, you know, maybe a couple of people at DARPA knew there was an internet. And the guy who founded the first ATS company, which eventually was called ResTrack and sold to Conexa, brilliant guy named Lars Perkins, said to me 22 years ago, he said to me, Bill, imagine a day when everyone's resume is just out there. I have no idea how, but it's just out there. And think how that will change recruiting from being somebody sitting in a boat with a baited hook over the line trying to attract a candidate to becoming a scuba diver with a spear gun hunting for candidates.
And oh, but that's
God,
so dangerous. That's so dangerous.
Can we give Lars his due and say how incredibly prescient he was?
Well,
22
yeah.
years ago saying that?
Yeah,
but tell me how
but
it's
I think
dangerous.
That there's a danger in thinking that the profiles that are on LinkedIn are resumes, because they're not. They're advertising pieces.
Ah, okay. And how is that different from a resume anyone would put on paper? I mean, aren't those sales documents as well?
Well, they are, but it's interesting. It's interesting to see the differences between what people put on their online profiles and what they submit as a resume for their applications. And there are some staggering differences.
That's so funny. And you know, that's not something I'd be in a position to know, but it makes absolute sense. People still feel differently about something printed on a piece of paper, right, than they do about something that's simply online, right?
That, and once you turn it in, once you submit for a job, right, and you apply, that's an official part of your application, and you can be judged by it and fired from it. I mean, there are examples
right.
of CEOs who were fired because they lied on their resume that they turned in.
They lied about
but
college,
never seen
right?
Any, yeah, exactly. But I've never seen anyone fired for lying about their LinkedIn profile.
Wow, that's interesting. I never knew that. Anyway, don't you agree, though, that the existence of LinkedIn is one of the more amazing developments in the last 25 years?
I do. I think it was very, very smart. I think it will be smarter still to see them merge with a company that can, you know, I'm trying to think, but a company that can help bring some of the lacking community features that they were trying to build through groups and
right.
really help us communicate in a way that you can't on LinkedIn right now. I'd like to see them go from the profile to perhaps being able to interview a candidate through their session, out maybe using something like a Google Hangout or a Skype call. If they could integrate something like that to where you have real-time connections between recruiters and potential candidates, that's intriguing.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more, although I can hear HireVue sobbing in the background at the idea of LinkedIn
totally.
Offering their own video calling.
Awesome.
Facility. You're absolutely right. And frankly, I think LinkedIn has been holding back on what they're adding to their services because,
mm-hmm.
you know, their latest announcement came within 6 inches of being an ATS, to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for being here with us. We are running out of time at this point. And it's an honor to have you here with us and to have an opportunity to talk to you. So where can our audience find more details about Firing Line with Bill Kudig, your upcoming show? And then
Firing Line is still being created. And the best way to find out about me is to go to the radio show page, Bill Kudig Radio Show, allonword.com. it has links to my column and the other places where I hang out, and that's how they can find me.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Bill and Crystal. As always, you have been wonderful. Thank you so much for guest hosting with me on Drive to HR today. And ladies and gentlemen, connect with Bill Kudyk on Twitter at Bill Kudyk. And talk to you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye. Thanks, Crystal.